So this work is in collaboration with Yiping Huang and Mike Hermley at the CU Boulder. So Yiping Huang is a student of Mike Hermley, and this work is supported by DOE for grant. So let me first outline the talk. So I will first give a brief introduction to quantum spin linguists, both the theory and the experiment. And then I will explain the difference between classical spin eyes and quantum spin eyes. So then I will move on and explain our realistic spin models on the particle lattice and explain some remarkable properties of this model. So because of the audience, I don't think I need to explain this slide. So the goal is try to look for exotic phases beyond the fractional quantum Hall states. So quantum spin liquids provide a possibility, both in theory and experiment. So in fact, the history of quantum spin liquids is older than fractional quantum Hall states. So in 1973, so Anderson proposed a resonant variance bound wave function for the triangle lattice Heisenberg model. And his goal was to try to suppress any ferromagnetic nail state on the triangle lattice, because on the triangle lattice, the interaction is frustrated. But the nature found a compromised state, which is this 120-degree state. So in 1987, this idea was revived when the high-temperature signal activity was discovered. So Anderson's RVB wave function become a wave function for semiconductors when a hole is doped into the system. So whether RVB state is relevant or irrelevant to high temperature semiconductivity is still under debate, but the idea of the concept of quantum spin liquid is already very novel and interesting. So in last one or two decades, people have made a lot of theoretical progress in understanding of quantum spin liquids. So what's the definition of quantum spin liquids? In fact, it's very hard to define quantum spin liquid. Abstract definition is sometimes too strict. So experimental definition is often very easy. So one can just say it's a state without the magnetic order down to zero temperature. And this is due to quantum fluctuations. And so a better definition is to use its property. So one can define quantum spin liquid as a state with fractional excitations. And this fractional excitation is often called spinons. And this spinon can be a boson, can be fermion, can be anyon, abelian, or non-abelian. And this state is the quantum spin liquid is often associated with emergent gauge structure at low energies. So we need emergent gauge to deconfine the fractional excitations. So one theoretical direction is to classify quantum spin liquids. Suppose we know the low energy gauge structure and the symmetry of and certain symmetries of the Hamiltonian. Can we classify all possible quantum spin liquids? So this kind of work was initiated by Xiao Gang almost 10 years ago. And recently, there are more sophisticated classifications. So another theoretical direction is exact solver models. This is initiated by Kitaev. And exact solver models are very nice, and one can check some theoretical predictions explicitly. So numerics is playing a more and more important role in the fields of quantum spin liquids. So every numerics has its own advantage and disadvantage. So for instance, quantum Monte Carlo often has a sign problem. And there is a saying, every interesting physical problem has a sign problem. And that's not true. That's not always true. So I'm going to give a counter example today. So this is some example of a system people studied numerically and found the quantum spin liquids. So here I will list the various quantum spin liquids often discussed in the literature. So the first class of quantum spin liquid is called the critical spin liquids. I think it was first understood by Xiao Gang. And so one example is spin-on non-fermion liquid in two dimensions. So the low energy theory is described by spin-on Fermi-C coupled to a U1 gauge theory. So another one is a Dirac spin liquid. And the low energy theory is a Dirac spin on fermionic Dirac spin on coupled to U1 gauge theory. So the other class of spin liquid is called a topological spin liquid with gapped spin-ons. So usually topological spin liquid is defined topological spin liquid has both gapped spin-ons and gapped gauge fields. Here I only assume the spin-on is gapped, not the gauge field. So example would be Z2 spin liquid in 2D or 3D. So Anderson's RVB wave function is an example of a two-dimensional Z2 spin liquid on triangle lattice. And the quantum spin ice, which I will talk about today, is an example of U1 quantum spin liquid in 3D. It has an emergent QED, quantum electrodynamics, in 3+1 dimension at low energies. So, to tell you we are not really doing a string theory, there have been a lot of experimental system being proposed to be quantum spin liquid candidate. So here is a list of two-dimensional and three-dimensional condensed solid state system which are proposed to be a quantum spin liquid. So I will explain only one of them in the next slide. The second type of system is from ultra-cold atom community. So there is an ambitious goal in ultra-cold atom try to do quantum simulation of condensed matter systems, condensed matter Hamiltonians. So there are proposals of trying to use a dipolar degrees of freedom of polar molecules to simulate the quantum magnetism. And cold atom can also provide some large quantum group, such as SPN or SUN with very large N, so that quantum spin liquid ground state can be stabilized. So cold atom has its advantages, but also has its disadvantages. So one important issue is about the cooling. So ultra-cold atom is in fact very hot by condensed matter standard. So that gives some difficulty to observe this exotic state in cold atom system. So here I will explain one experimental example, this organic material. So this material is proposed to support a spin-on Fermi surface ground state at low energies. So this material, people didn't find any magnetic order down to 19 millikelvin from NMR, and no magnetic or no spin freezing. So even though the exchange energy scale is 200 Kelvin, so the energy difference is almost 4 order magnitude. And it has a constant spin sensibility at low temperature. So the thermodynamic property, thermodynamic data is more complicated. So this is the specific heat capacity data. But there's some complications here due to different samples. But this is still consistent with a large density of states at low energies. So there's also transport measurement. This is transport measurement. This is the measurement of thermal conductivity. You can see the thermal conductivity behave like a metal at low energy, at low temperature. So all these experimental results are consistent with the picture of a spin-on Fermi surface state. This one?
Yeah, the low.
Oh, this is a different sample. Oh, right. This is a different sample.
So
this is this one. This one. This one. Yeah.
So this is diverting still
to
impurity?
I don't know. I mean, some people say this behave like a T2/3, consistent with specific proportional to T2/3.
Oh,
I mean, depends on who you ask. Yeah, so this is deuterated samples. You can replace the hydrogen.
Yeah, but cadmium and selenium, these are strong ionic fractions.
Yeah, it could be some nuclear contribution. It could be at low temperature. I think this for this material, one should focus on 1 Kelvin to 2 Kelvin property instead of sub Kelvin property. because the energy scale here is 200. It's not one should focus on the temperature scale between 1 to 10 instead of sub-Kelvin results. Yeah, so what's the challenge of, the challenge is to connect the theory with the experiment. So this require modeling. So suppose we give a quantum spin liquid candidate material. So we want to know whether it is a quantum spin liquid or what type of quantum spin liquid. So this require writing a appropriate Hamiltonian for the material and solvent. So both are very hard. The second challenge is measurement. So how do we unambiguously confirm quantum spin liquid in any type by experiment? So it's not just find the absence of magnetic order down to lowest temperature. We need a more direct probes about the defining property of the quantum spin liquid. For instance, we need to measure emergent gas structure. We can also measure the deconfined degrees of freedom, like spin-on. So this is very challenging. So much for the introduction. And I'm going to explain the difference between classical spin ice and quantum spin ice. So classical spin ice is very well understood, both in theory and experiment. So classical spin ice is composed of Eisenspin degrees of freedom on the particle lattice. If you are not familiar with particle lattice, this is the particle lattice. And so because of the spin anisotropy, the spin on the particle lattice side points either point into or point out of the point out from the center of the tetrahedral. Because of the low effective anti-ferromagnetic magnetic interaction between the nearest neighbor spins, so it favors this two into out spin configurations on each tetrahedron. So this is similar to the hydrogen position in water ice. So that's why it's called a spin ice. Because of the classical two into out the spin ground state configurations is extensively degenerate, and people have found the residual poly entropies in the spin head measurement in these materials. So also because of the two into out the spin configuration or the spin ice rules, so they indicate some pinch points, very interesting pinch points in the equal time spin correlation. I mean, this has been discovered in the neutron scattering. So quantum mechanics can be very important in some spin ice like materials. So there are two very 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 nice experiments from Professor Bruce Gordon's group in McMaster University. So they observe well-defined spin wave excitations in ytterbium titanate and erbium titanate. So quantum mechanics is needed to describe a certain spin ice-like materials. So for ytterbium titanate and erbium titanate, one can write down a generic symmetry allowed Hamiltonian for the effective spin one-half one-half degrees of freedom on the particle lattice. So it's given by this. It's very complicated. And the spin is defined in a local coordinate basis. And the local coordinate basis is different for each sublattice. There are four sublattices, and there are four different coordinate systems for each sublattice. So this Hamiltonian has this funny bond-dependent phase factor, gamma ij and zeta ij. So the exchange interaction is non-uniform on every bond. So like many theories in many theoretical research in quantum spin ice, quantum spin liquid. So quantum spin ice is also started from by a top-down approach. So we first understand some simple toy model and understand some generic property of this toy model, and then apply to real physical system. So this is the study of quantum spin liquid, quantum spin ice, is initiated in a toy model, study of a toy model by Mike Homley in 2004. So they propose quantum spin ice can be stabilized in the easy access limit when the longitudinal exchange is dominant over the transverse exchange. So this prediction or this suggestion is further discovered by a quantum Monte Carlo simulation on an equivalent hard-core boson model on the particle lattice. So what's the difference between a classical and a quantum spin ice? So classical spin ice is not a new phase of matter. It's connected to the high temperature paramagnetic phase. So classical spin ice is basically a statistical mechanics problem with local constraint. This local constraint is a spin ice constraint, spin ice rules. It's due to a thermal and entropy effect. So classical spin ice has residual polar entropy as dipolar-like spin correlations. So quantum spin ice is more interesting. So it's an example of Xiaogang's spinite condensation. It's an example of Xiaogang's spinite condensation. And the fluctuating of the condensed loop gives you the emergent quantum electrodynamics. So it's a null phase of matter. So it has a deconfined spin on degrees of freedom. It has emergent photons. So there is no residual polar entropy in quantum spin ice. Because of the emergent photons, and we have T cubed heat capacity at low temperature. And we also have parallel spin correlations. And defects in quantum spin ice can induce ground state degeneracy. So any questions now? So before I describe our model, let me explain some local relevant local physics. So I first consider 5D electron orbitals in the particle lattice site. Because of the crystal field, so the D electron orbital is first split into up EG and lower T2G. So EG is high, very high energy. One can forget about EG. So the spin orbit interaction, atomic spin orbit interaction is active on the T2G orbitals. It further split the T2G into up J equal to 1/2 and J equal to 3/2 states. So because of local distortion, all the trigonal distortion, this J equal to 3/2 four states will further split into two doublets, these two doublets. So if we have three electrons per site, if I have three electrons per site, the local moment is described by the effective doublet on of this one. So this doublet, this effective doublet is a very special doublet. It's this JD equal to local JD equal to plus minus 3/2. So why this this Cramer's doublet is special? So it's in fact a one-dimensional irreducible representation of the point group. So by one-dimensional representation, I mean, so if you apply the symmetry operation on this doublet, it's they don't mix with each other. They stay the same. They don't mix. This is very important to describe in the model. So this one-dimensional doublet is very general. It can be applied to many other F-electron moments on the particle lattice. For instance, the J equals 3/2, J equals 9/2, and 15/2. If you have this kind of local crystal field Hamiltonian, so the effective 1/2 spin, zero spin 1/2 degrees of freedom is described by this one-dimensional doublet. In fact, this one-dimensional doublet can be generally applied to any Cramer spin with a spin larger than 1/2. For example, if you take a ytterbium tetanite and take a ytterbium site, the spin of ytterbium is J equal to 7/2. So there are eight states or four doublets. So on the crystal field, it's split into four doublets. So the third excited local doublet is this one-dimensional doublet. Imagine one can tune the local crystal field and bring down this this one-dimensional doublet. So then the ground state doublet is described by this one-dimensional doublet.
So if it's
of gauge 1/2 will be different. Gauge 1/2 will be very different. Yeah, it won't be mixed. So it will be described by the model I wrote down before. Yeah. So in order to write.
So are you saying that in Ethereum Titan 8 there is a doublet which has exactly spectrum decomposition of plus or minus 3
pounds? This one, the third one. Yeah, the third one is this one, exactly. Yeah. It's allowed by symmetry. So in order to write down the exchange model for this doublet, we need to first understand how symmetry act on this doublet. So I first define a serial spin 1/2 degrees of freedom constructed from this local doublet. So the space group of the particle is composed of this. This is tetrahedral group, inversion symmetry and translation. So the tetrahedral group has two elements, two generators, the threefold rotation and the Miller symmetry. So it's important to point out.
Sorry, I'd like to come back to this 3/2 just
yeah.
to make sure I understand. So are you considering a crystal field which is strictly the
D3D, allowed by D3D local point group?
But is it only for the crystal field everything written down there? Or do you actually?
No, generally, more generally. You can add more extra terms. But this is allowed from the symmetry point of view, this doublet should be there. And there were, for me, if you take this one, so it's not just a plus or minus 9/2, it will be linear combination of 9/2 and 3/2 and et cetera.
But it's 3/2.
Well, 3/2 is not different from 9/2. 3/2 just the one, it's eigenstate of GSD. So this is the serial spin 1/2 moment defined on the local doublet. So it's important to point out the x and the z component of this serial spin transform identically on all the symmetry operation, and the y component of the spin transform differently from x and z component. So yeah. So basically, x and z component transform like a dipole, magnetic dipole, and the y component transform like an octuple moment on the Miller symmetry. So we can write down a generic symmetry allowed models for this local doublet. It's given by this, and it's very simple. And this exchange interaction, this is only for nearest neighbor. This exchange interaction is uniform. It's the same for every bond. It's
X, Y, Z, I really refer to local orientation.
Yeah, different local is defined in the sense for the J's. In this pseudo spin basis, there is no sense of direction, right? Only z has some direction, has the meaning of direction. Not for the rest. J has a direction.
But what is it? The SD corresponds to the J plus
this one.
Yeah,
this one. It's a polymetric basically. So it's the same on every bond. This is very different from another balanced model. So it has this funny bond-dependent phase factors, and both gamma ij and theta ij. So because it's uniform on every bond, one can apply a global rotation around the y-axis in the zero spin space to eliminate this Gaussian term. So in the end, we'll get a very simple model, which is XYZ model. So let me first explain some simple regime. What's the ground state in a simple regime? So I first look at this unfrustrated regime. Let's say when the Z component of exchange is dominant and negative, it will favor a magnetic order along for the Z component of spin. And this is in fact owing out any ferromagnetic order with magnetic dipole order. So The other limit is taking the JX exchange to be dominated and ferromagnetic. So you will obtain magnetic order for the SX component. So because X and Z transform identically on the symmetry, so this state is not different from the first one. But if we have the Y component of the exchange dominant and ferromagnetic, it will obtain this, it will lead to this magnetic order. So because Y component has been transformed differently from X and Z, it's a different state. Because Y component has been carrying a magnetic octuple order, and this order instead is an antiferro octuple order, but there is no dipole magnetic order. So since we are interesting, we want to look for quantum spin liquids in this model. So we want to study a more frustrated regime when the magnetic order is absent. So for that purpose, we look for the phases on a cube in the parameter space. The exchange coupling runs from -1 to 1. We look at these three surfaces. So because the permutation symmetry, I mean, so we only need to look at one plane. So by permutation, we can generate the first diagram on the other two surfaces. So the first diagram of this, of the top surface, when Jz equal to 1, is obtained like this. So when Jx and Jy are small, we'll obtain this quantum spin I space. And when Jy and Jx are dominant, we get some antiferromagnetic going out of order or antiferro octuple order. So we only studied the first diagram in this shaded region. And it's interesting to point out this model has no sign problem in the shaded region. So this is very rare for a realistic model with non-trivial physics. So now let me explain how we obtain this first diagram. So let me start from a simple limit. Let's say we start from this perturbative limit. We go back to this original XXZ model written down by Mike Hermley in 2004. So we're in the easy access limit. And when I do perturbation theory for this transverse exchange, so after third order perturbations, it will generate a reaction or spin flip around a hexagon. And this is captured by a six-sided ring change. In fact, this low-energy Hamiltonian, this low-energy ring change Hamiltonian can be mapped into a U1 lattice gauge theory. So by defining electrical field of the gauge theory as this, as SD, and the vector potential as the transverse spin component, and by doing this mapping, so the low energy ring change is mapped into this magnetic field term of the U1 lattice gauge theory. We also have this electrical field term due to the hardcore constraint of the spin 1/2 moment. I didn't write down over here. So when this ring change is positive with this low energy effect Hamiltonian favor zero flux state with curl A equal to zero. So when K is a negative, you favor pi flux state. So in order to obtain the first diagram, we also need to look at the open strings. So a single spin flip will create defects on the neighboring tetrahedrons. So this will create a 3-in-1-out state. This will create a 3-out-1-in state. So this corresponding to any spin on in these two tetrahedrons. So we define this spin flip operation as the two matter fields in the end of this strings and the open string operator. So by doing that, we have enlarged the physical Hilbert space because we introduced a bosonic spin-on operator, and we also have this gauge fields. So we need to introduce a gauge constraint so that the enlarged Hilbert space is projected into the physical Hilbert space. So one can check explicitly this spin operator is invariant on the local U1 gauge transformation. So by doing this mapping, so first I want to rewrite this XY model into more standard form. So I basically symmetrize this and anti-symmetrize this, obtain this term. So using this spin-on gauge, so with this snail particle description, so the original XY model is written, is expressed into this form. And with this form, the spin-on gauge coupling is explicit. You can see the spin-on is minimally coupled to the gauge field. So in order to obtain the phase diagram, I need to condense the spin-ons in the end of the open string. So before I do that, let me first explain the phase diagram. So it is known the XZ model has two phases. So when the transverse exchange is small, it supports a quantum spin I phase. When the transverse exchange is dominant, it will lead to magnetic order in the XY plane. So this ordering has a U1 degeneracy. So now if we turn on this asymmetric exchange between the X and Y component, this will break the U1 degeneracy of the magnetic order. So when when J plus is positive, it will favor SY ordering. This is an anti-ferromagnetic octuple order. So when this is negative, it will favor X component of spin order. This is all in all the magnetic order. So we know. We know quantum spin ice is perturbatively stable against any local perturbation. So quantum spin ice will survive to finite extent of this asymmetric exchange. So that means there will be a phase transition from quantum spin ice to some kind of ordering. To describe this ordering, we need to condense the spin-ons to Higgs out the gauge field. But it doesn't mean we have a direct transition from a quantum spin I to this magnetic order. There might be some intermediate phase appearing in the in between these two phases.
Okay, so what does symmetry help us understand? Whether there is any remaining symmetry in the two
orbital phases? There's no symmetry.
So all symmetry is broken.
All symmetry is broken. That symmetry is preserved. The unit cell, the magnetic unit cell, is identical to the right. to the crystal unit cell.
I see. So,
does
the time work symmetry?
T is broken here in these two.
Do you know what happens when you add quantum fluctuations, projection, symmetry theory? What extent is QSI phase?
What do you mean?
Projection to kill that phase.
Projection to kill the phase.
This is a mean field.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a mean field treatment.
If you include sort of constraints more rigorously, sometimes it's in the good phases, it's just not competitive.
Yeah, but we know perturbatively this quantum spin eyes should be there. Also by numerics, it is there. So it should be survived to finally extend the perturbation.
This isn't
solvable. I mean, but Numericus has confirmed there is a quantum spin ice here on this axis.
What is the difference between quantum spin ice? You mean they have an expansive generator boundary?
So quantum spin ice is basically U1 quantum spin liquid.
Oh, I see.
It's a fancy name. Okay.
Okay. So, again, suppose this SY not equal to zero, it looks like if you change the sign of SX as Z, it will be a symmetry.
Change the sign of
SX and SZ. Just do the 180 degree rotation in the SY direction.
SY direction, yeah.
So there seems to be surviving.
There's some permutation.
There's a Z2 symmetry.
Yeah, this okay, sure. So this model has a Z2 cross Z2 symmetry.
Yeah.
Then it's a rotation around the x or y axis by 180 degrees.
Yeah.
So yeah, then it's a
so
Z2 cross. Yes, yes.
But this only, but the means, yeah, this only for it. The domain is surviving the cool.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
It must be related to the octopole is going back to the angular momentum, right? It's a high rank tensor. It must correspond to different eigenvectors due to the largest eigenvalue of this high rank tensor, right? Like if you have a quadrupole, right, you can.
Yeah.
So these different discrete symmetries must be responsible to different.
But you know, if I include a further neighbor exchange, this discrete symmetry will not be there. So this is the special property of this nearest neighbor model. Yeah. So but in my calculation, I didn't find this Z2 quantum spin liquid when the single single spin on does not condense and. Two spin on condenser and hicks out the U1 part of the gadget theory, but it's not found in the Z2 in the mean field calculation. But this can be found by this question can be addressed by quantum Monte Carlo since it doesn't have a sign problem. So this is the first diagram in the JX and JY parameter basis.
So if you rewrote the general Hamiltonian the JZ plus minus, right? What symmetry has allowed the sign problem to go away?
What symmetry has? It's a good question. I think this Hamiltonian. The sign of J plus minus J this term, the sign of this one doesn't play any role, because if you apply a for this model, if we apply a, apply a 180 degree rotation around the z direction axis, it will change the sign of J plus and this, change the sign of this one, but doesn't change the sign of that one. So if you're doing a stochastic theory expansion, you'll find that the off diagonal terms is always in even power of this one, but in odd power of this one. So if the sign of this one is positive, it will have no sign problem. Yeah, you are thinking about some two-dimensional irreducible representation. If your local doublet is a two-dimensional irreducible representation, you should have this local DM like term. Yes. So for this one, you don't.
So the phase transition in the right phase diagram, so the dashed line is first order.
Yeah, so this dashed line is a strongly first order. And this is at the mean field level. And this solid line is a continuous phase transition at mean field level. But beyond the mean field level, this will turn into a fluctuating generated first order transition. So we know, like on this plane, we have Z2, we have quantum spin ice around in this area. So by XYZ permutation, we can also say there is a, we also found the quantum spin ice in this region on this surface, and the quantum spin ice in this region on this surface. The question is whether they are the same quantum spin ice.
So the mean field theory basically is how to determine if the spin on condensed.
That's right. So the question is if whether these three quantum spin ice are the same quantum spin ice or not. The question is the answer is they are not the same quantum spin ice. They are distinct by symmetries. For this quantum spin ice, the electrical field of the emergent gauge theory is described by the z component of the spin, And on this surface, the emergent or the electric field is described by the x component of the spin. And so x and z component of a spin transform identically under symmetry. So these two quantum spin eyes are not distinct by symmetry, but this quantum spin eyes is different because the electric field is Sy. So Sy transform differently from x and z under mirror symmetry. So this quantum spin eye is different from these two. So you can so here I call these two up by dipolar quantum spin eyes because the electric field carry dipolar moment. I call this one to be octuple quantum spin eye because the electric field carry octuple moment. So so there are these two quantum spin eyes are different symmetry enriched quantum spin eyes. By symmetry enriched by the special group of symmetry. So the white region corresponded to a pi flux state, and this pi flux state is also an example of symmetry enrichment. So this is similar to three different symmetry enriched the Z2 quantum spin liquids in the Kitai toric code model. So this is the difference between dipolar quantum spin eyes and octuple quantum spin eyes. So the electric field of the emergent gauge theory transform very differently for dipolar and octuple quantum spin eyes. Similarly, is the magnetic field. So what's the difference between the physical properties? For dipolar quantum spin eyes, we have the usual power law like spin correlations. It's a 1 over r to the fourth. For octuple quantum spin eyes, we have this 1 over r to the eighth spin correlation. But if we preserve the Z2 cos Z2 symmetry of the XYZ model, and this correlation will decay exponentially because this thing creates the spin-ons, gap the spin-ons. So because both phases are described by the identical low energy field theory, so the thermodynamical property are similar, identical. So they have, for instance, they have the 7T to the cube heat capacity at a low temperature. So there is one open question here, which I don't fully understand. So so what's the phase in this white region? So in the white region, the exchange is more frustrated because all the exchange are anti-ferromagnetic. So, but it's now quantum spin eyes will be more stable in this region because the exchange is frustrated. So one question to ask is, how do these three quantum spin eyes connected with each other? And what's the ground state of this SU2 Heisenberg point? So this is one of the hardest questions in quantum magnetism. And so we know in this quantum spin eyes, the SD is the carry the gauge field, and SX and SY are matter fields, create the spin on degrees of freedom. In this one, so the SX is the gauge field, and the SY, SZ are matter fields. So when these two approach this SU2 point, they will probably meet. So then we need to transform the matter field into gauge field. But we don't know, but in a U1 abelian gauge theory, the matter field the gauge field does not carry gauge charge. So, but we know one theory does that. Non-abelian gauge theory does that. So in QCD, both the gluons and the quarks carry gauge charge. So one conjecture, my conjecture is, so this, the ground state for this SU2 Heisenberg model is a non-abelian quantum spin liquid. And when these three spin liquid, these three U1 quantum spin liquid will converge into a non-abelian SU2 quantum spin liquid. So this is a conjecture. I haven't confirmed it. Yeah, so to keep this field.
You describe how electric field magnetic field change. You study how the electric charge change under stimulation.
Well, I didn't write into the paper, but I know how the change is. Yeah.
So, So they also train it very differently.
Yeah. So here you can forget about any microscopic model. You can just look at the mathematics. Just look at the model itself mathematically and forget how SX and SY, SZ transforms. And just look at what's the ground state in this white region. So to keep this field active, and so we need more and more experiments and materials. So here I only give examples of two well-known systems. One is a particle, that is this particle material. And so this is the list of materials which support this special one-dimensional doublet. And so this is the experiment by Professor Bruce Gollin at McMaster University, and this material is dysprosium titanite. So they found the entropy decrease below this poly entropy, and so this decreasing can be explained by presence of magnetic order down at very low temperature, because classically, by the simulation by Roger Michael, they found the magnetic order at very low temperature, like including dipolar spin exchange between the eigen spins. So another explanation is the spin are actually quantum instead of eigen. So this decreasing of entropy is associated with quantum dynamics. So the other system is a spinel system. So the B side of the spinel also form a particle, that is. And so this is the experiment on this material, cadmium, erbium, and selenium. So they also found the poly entropy in this material. So let me summarize this talk. So we propose a realistic XYZ model based on a singlet Kramer's doublet on the particle lattice. So this realistic model supports two distinct symmetry enriched quantum spin ice phases. And this model has no sign problem and can be understood by quantum Monte Carlo simulations. And thanks for the attention.
Do you have some idea, this material mentioned, what is the JITRI-3D couple?
Well, I don't know. It really depends on some experimental data. So we can
have some estimate. What I try to say is, what I try to say, maybe let me say, okay, maybe all in all is the variable of learning, you know, JZ is something, and then from some other picture, you can have some idea what's the GX, GY. Basically, you say whether it's mainly a dipolar interaction or mainly just exchange interaction. You know, whether there's some from those
pictures, yeah, there is some way to do it. Well, because this exchange energy scale is small in this material, so one can apply a strong magnetic field to order the spin.
So are they coming from the dipolar interaction or still exchange crystal field or crystal field? But the neighboring coupling, also crystal field.
This is the projected interaction, right? Yeah, they are effectively spin coupling between two neighboring sides, four is the magnitude smaller. I see, but that's not dipole for the nearest model. I write down it includes all kinds of contribution. It's a symmetry allowed one. Yeah, so you can check it. That's a good question, and one can estimate the dipolar exchange by you know the magnetic moment.
Yeah, yeah,
then you can estimate it.
That's easy
to do. Yeah.
Yeah, but the other exchange interaction whether overwhelm this confusion or about the same order, but it's not exchange, right? Yeah, you know, but I think some other multi-direct way function one at a time.
Well, here, most of the interactions between the ions, right?
Yeah.
Comes from very computer processors, right? there's exchange, there's virtual photon exchange,
yeah,
and so on. So these are very complicated anisotropic interactions. And it's only when you project them into the crystal field of the loop that you acquire
so
these exchange interactions, they're like a fraction of a 10 minus 2 milli electron volt.
So that's the same order as that view, right? That whole part.
Or smaller.
Or even smaller.
Okay.
But so sometimes a bipolar model is not too bad. Just since the
you put the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But for this scheme to work, you need to have your special doublet to be the ground state, right?
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, for this material, it's not, it's the ground state.
Plus minus 3.5 is a
lower
state or not? That is a questionable.
Yeah. But for this material, it's not, they are the ground state.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
They are or not?
They are. I mean, this is you telling me this, right? This is you telling me this.
Well.
I mean, then you send us this reference and it's written there.
What I said is that there were experiments without a medium. I don't know what the ground state is, but for dysprosium, it's most definitely not.
No, it is. This is 9.5, right? It's 9.5. It's J equal to 9.5.
I strongly disagree with that.
The problem here is the dipolar interaction is large because the larger spin moment in this material.
The crystal field ground state in dysprosium is not this protected plus or minus.
I can send you a reference.
I can show you the calculation.
sure.
Okay.
Sure.
This SC2 state, the SC2 symmetric point, there's a sign problem, right?
It has a sign problem. All the white region has a sign problem.
Well, then there are some like approximate non-QMC numerics of that.
No, I think, I mean, the problem here, if my conjecture is right, so we need to gap this matter field to stabilize the non-abelian gauge theory. So that means the.
So your claim is that low energies, this is an SC2 non-abelian gauge theory.
With the gapless fermion, for instance.
Yeah.
We need gapless matters to stabilize it.
But I think it's not known, right? But I think some people believe that the SU2 point would be a balanced bound crystal, right?
Yeah.
And then, but this is, well,
right.
So
that's
using
what tools?
Using so series expansion and core contractor normalization.
Yeah, break the symmetry.
So actually, there's a similar question in these quantum spin I spaces.
Yeah.
Whether there's a competing phase like a valence bound crystal. So basically, that just means that you still have a lot of string, but the string may form some pattern rather than liquid.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
And so what I can say, in your calculation, that's not a lot.
There could be some intermediate things going on. There.
I just want to know the whole firm we know this. We do have quantum spin ice. Whether these are some kind of Monte Carlo calculation, and what about some infield calculation? There are certain phases that just you just ignore at the beginning.
I see. So this axis is not the mean field. It's a Monte Carlo result. The result on this axis is a Monte Carlo result. So there's no doubt of. Yeah.
So there's an I see. So the string do form a liquid rather than
yes.
A solid.
Yes.
So what system sizes did they go to for the QSP?
That's a good question. I think
so this
is a 12 times 12 times 12. I don't remember.
It's a Hartle boson.
It's Hartle boson, but it's an identical model. It's is identical.
Have people tried to do this bigger inside this thing?
I think a logger is trying to do it.
Maybe one last question? Well, if not, let's thank you again.